The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know how many people pick their nose and then put it in their pocket?
No.
Call every day for the past 4 days. She hasn't returned one call.
Was it a scratch? Or a pick?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What? I don't.
Yes.
That is not a thing.
I guarantee I'm not alone.
No.
I guarantee Chewy, I'm not alone.
It was a scratch.
Hey, it's me.
Don't you think I know the difference between a pick and a scratch?
If you're picking your nose, you're not putting it in your pocket.
Wait,
you're flicking it. You just took it
flick.
Out of one orifice. You're not putting it in another.
You're telling me you pick your nose and put it in
not
your pocket?
Not anymore, but I used to.
Was there any nostril penetration?
There may have been some incidental penetration, but from her angle, she was in no position to make the call.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna ride. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna ride. He ain't doing nothing but running his
it's gonna be tough to tell if the voice this morning is a product of the hotel air conditioning, the airplane circulating air, or just the general air quality in Milwaukee slash Wisconsin thanks to those Canadian wildfires.
What was wrong with the air conditioning in your hotel?
Well, just it's just circulated air. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just and it's pumping and pumping and pumping and it just I always wake up and I got a little frog in my throat.
I get that. 8 sneezes, 7 Irish blows. Takes like a 45 minutes to get out of the system.
And then I do the thing where I pinch my nose and it's like, you try to make that sound.
It's called allergies. They make medication for this.
No. There's no allergy. Well, no, not yet.
Maybe I'm allergic to the California wildfire smoke. Like,
do you have any problems?
Do I have? No, I just don't complain about them constantly.
That is fair. Really?
So, yes, he has problems.
Complaining is so fun.
It's your favorite thing to do.
I love it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you to.
Life would be boring without it, I think. Mix that with a brain injury. Here we go.
It's a dangerous
cocktail. The dog's back on the table, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so to give the quick recap of you and your history with dogs.
Yeah.
You've never been a dog person. Kind of liked your son's dog. Oh, actually, it wasn't even your son's dog. It was your son's girlfriend's dog.
Yes.
Who you nicknamed Crap Bird.
Yeah.
Because it crapped in the house. Wife stepped in it. And then you were out on dogs. And now you're possibly back in on a dog?
She's afraid I spend too much time by myself, which is fine. I'm okay with that. And we went over a friend's house right next door that has a little crap bird. And it just sat on my lap the whole time. But then I revert to your dog. Did it throw up or crap everywhere?
I don't think you should use my dog as the baseline for all dogs, okay? I don't even like my dog. Okay? So I would put him on the outside, right? He's not representative of all dogs. In fact,
he's
dogs
old?
Voted. They would not vote for my dog.
Okay. Because it's old?
No, he's just an oddball. He's got he's cross-eyed, so you're looking at him.
Chewy. Chewy would love him. It seems like Chewy would get along with your dog.
What about a cat?
Did your dogs, when your dog was a puppy, did his brothers stand really close to his face to make him go cross-eyed? Is that what happened?
Probably, since that's the theory he's going with. This is a development. You know, we asked you this morning, we were like, anything going on in your life? You could have told us that all of a sudden the dog's back on the table.
Well, I just remembered.
There it is.
Yeah, I just remembered.
Going back to the brain injury.
How serious is it?
My brain or the dog?
Oh, my goodness. The possibility of you getting a dog. How serious is it?
I mean, this thing was little. It was fine. It was very nice.
Yeah.
Just sat there the whole time. I think it felt protected by me. That's why it liked me.
Because you're a big guy?
Needles pass 50-50.
Oh, so you're leaning more towards getting a dog versus not getting a dog.
The problem is we travel so much.
Bring
now,
with you.
Now, my oldest has a cat, which is, you know.
Coach has a cat?
Coach has a cat. Now, Coach says.
I feel like you got to keep that in the back pocket.
Coach says with a cat,
yeah,
you can leave it in the apartment for like a week as long as it's got automatic food.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Litter box.
Would a cat be better?
I mean, I'd judge you more if you had a cat.
Do you like cats?
I think they get a bad rap.
I agree.
Kind of like me.
What? Oh, so there's a kinship here.
First of all, cats get the deserved reputation that
they've
had.
I don't think they do. Just because they have attitude is no reason to disparage them.
That's exactly why you should be disparaging them.
Where are you on cats?
I am coming around as my 7-year-old really wants one. And she keeps asking her daddy. And I keep telling him, like, you go ahead, be strong. But she's going to wear your ass down.
Like a Siamese cat?
No,
cool.
What the heck? You know, you lost me. Absolutely.
Why?
Because of all the cats.
Yes.
It's the hairless cat, whatever the heck that thing is called, that abomination. And then Siamese as the ones I don't want.
Why? Because they got a lot of attitude.
Are you basing your entire knowledge of cats off of Lady and the Tramp? Is that what's happening right now on this show?
I'm not even sure they're allowed to show those scenes, by the way, from Lady and the Tramp anymore. I think those are how they earn the disclaimer that says they were wrong then.
Yeah.
They are wrong now.
If you're going on Disney Plus and they give you the warning.
I think
this movie was made at a different time.
I think it's more of like, hey, I'll be back in a week. Don't wreck the house. The cat would be like, well, fine.
But the cat could.
They're
the
a lot
house.
Cleaner than dogs.
Well, here's the other thing. Back in the day, I think that people used to declaw their cats.
Yes,
that was a thing of like to protect the house and the upholstery. From what I gather, because I've done a smidge of research, not a lot, but a smidge, you're not allowed to do that anymore. It's considered inhumane. Well, no, because feline. I don't know. Okay. But yes, it's considered inhumane to. Declaw the cats now.
Is it? Okay. The claws don't. You get them one of those scratch poles in there.
Yeah.
Fine.
Until they use your bicep as a scratch pole.
Yeah.
Chewy comes up all just, you know,
mangled.
I think a cat would probably be better.
But if your wife is worried about you spending time by yourself and she wants you to have a companion, cat's not it.
It's, you know what this is all driven by? Seinfeld. And I don't watch Seinfeld that much.
So,
you gonna translate here for us, buddy?
So your wife comes home and catches you watching Seinfeld, thinks you're watching too much Seinfeld, now thinks you need to get a dog.
When I hear the door shut in the garage, I gotta change the channel immediately and put it on Axemen. That why? She can deal with.
Why is that better than Seinfeld?
It's the reruns.
So is Axeman at this point.
True.
Is it because she has seen them so many times that she... Yeah.
It just bothers her. I don't know why it bothers her so much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, just we didn't get to follow up on the polls yesterday, but you lost big time, buddy.
And what?
By big time, I think I saw 91%. I'm trying to pull it up here. A little stall tactic by Jen. The poll we put up was about whether or not you have to have your significant other as your screen.
Yeah.
On your phone? Are you expected to have your significant other as your background on your phone? 91% of people said no.
Yeah, only that's a loss.
9% said
really?
Yes. So I don't know if you want to take that research and go back to, you know, anyone.
No. My screen, it's staying the way it is.
This is one of those pick your battles.
Yeah.
Choose your battles.
I can't believe that, though. I think people are lying.
So I feel like there may be a quiet expectation that maybe people aren't willing to address.
What's on your lock screen?
It's just the color blue, blank back screen.
Ew. Will.
Come on, man.
What are you doing? Why?
I don't know. Like, what do I need to put something special as my back screen for?
Well, what do you have that's special in your life? Come on, we can workshop this.
I mean, my family has a dog, maybe that, but... I don't know.
Doesn't seem like you like the dog all
I do
that
like
much.
The
Maybe
dog.
You and I are kindred spirits.
I don't live with him anymore, so I don't see him as much. Maybe I should.
We just learned a lot about Will. A blue. What's your lock screen, blue? Is it a new phone?
I'm not even sure if that's blue or just blank.
As if we didn't believe you. We're like, yep, sure.
It's
enough.
As boring as it sounds.
Wait, right. Are you boring? Is that what we're learning here?
No, but like, does it make you boring if your lock screen isn't cool?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Can we find something by the end of the show that you're like, you know what? I don't hate it. Yes, let's put that as my lock
screen. What's your
screen.
Favorite
wait, wait,
sports
wait, wait,
team?
Wait, wait, wait. What's okay? Maybe this is the problem. Will, do your friends have a blank back screen like yourself? Maybe we're just disconnected from
Gen Z?
A younger generation, and this is the way the younger generation handles their phones.
I would say a majority of them do. Just a random, generic, like Apple-generated back screen.
So no girlfriends then?
No girlfriends.
Okay.
Hey, I had to say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. It's okay.
I mean, it's like he has picture frames in his house with nothing in them.
Oh, just the generic, just the generic picture that comes with it when you bought it at Target?
Yeah. I like the frame.
I mean, mom and dad, a little family picture. You got anything from a recent holiday where y'all were together?
I mean, I could, but I just don't see the point.
What about a picture of you and Strofe sitting outside of George Webb? That was a seminal moment in everyone's life.
I don't want to be reminded of that.
Sports team? Favorite sports team? No?
Could. I don't know. I just don't really see the point. It doesn't really affect me that much.
Wait, what's your favorite sports team? Why did I feel like Buddy the Elf right there?
Probably. I'm from Chicago, so the Bears, I'd say.
Never mind.
He was a little afraid to say that.
He didn't want to say it out loud.
Yeah. I didn't answer the first time Chewy asked.
He feels like he has pretty good, you know, relationship with the fans. When he fills in on the show, he doesn't want to destroy.
Well, that all just went down the drain.
I think he had him at blue screen.
Maybe we'll come up with something, okay?
We'll figure it out.
You got a favorite television show? You got a favorite character? You got a favorite anything? A movie you watch over and over again? We'll work our way through it. 800-990-3776 if you have suggestions for what Will should put on his lock screen of his phone. After Chewy yesterday informed us that his wife, I don't want to say mandated, but it feels like an appropriate... appropriate word.
It's expected. She is expected to be the lock screen on his phone.
Yes, which is fine. It's just fine.
Again, the higher your voice goes when you're saying something like that.
All right.
So are we getting a dog? I feel like we need to address this. Is this like where? Okay, give me a percentage. Right, we did this with the Giannis thing too. Something tells me we're gonna have to revisit that today.
Mm.
What's the percentage that you will get a dog?
I would say it's over 50-50. It's just the spontaneous. Like, what do we do with it? Hey, we're going to Key West for the weekend. You can't leave it there, right? I mean, no one wants to watch anyone else's dog. Am I right?
If it's a good dog, they do.
Ah,
seriously.
Yeah, if it's a good dog, people enjoy dog sitting.
And you know what they enjoy? Temporary dogs. Right? If they haven't committed to a dog fully, but they like dogs, a lot of people will adopt a dog, essentially, you know, for like a weekend.
But they're cracking down on traveling with dogs now, right?
I still have seen a lot of dogs.
Really?
Over at O'Hare. Holy moly. Walking through.
Can I rent one first to see if I like it?
I don't know if that's a thing.
I mean, I guess technically that'd be fostering a dog, but that's a whole process you would have to go through that you don't want to get involved with.
Yeah, I don't. I'm path of least resistance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing.
No kidding.
You would probably have to get a rescue because there's no chance you want a puppy. Like, you don't have the patience for a puppy.
Aw.
Ah, but they're so cute.
Yeah, but guess what they do? They poop all over your house, man.
Know.
You're not going to want to deal with that.
I know.
You're going to want a dog that's already house trained.
Especially for a guy who never changed any of his kids' diapers.
Fair.
Okay? We know where you stand on that. But we have a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Jason Wilde is going to join us. Perhaps you saw the developments with the Green Bay Packers. Nate Hobbs had surgery? That came out of nowhere, didn't it? So the Packers go out and bolster their cornerback position, bringing back a familiar face. Meanwhile, the Brewers win again. Rookie of the month coming through. That's back-to-back rookie of the months for the Brewers, by the way. And yes, Shams has spoken about Giannis. Woof. We will address that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Cheez-It, the legendary snack cracker, now available as a frozen pizza. Had one for lunch yesterday. It's fantastic. It says each Crust is a giant original Cheez-It flavored cracker. It's square-shaped, of course. It has to be. That's what you expect when you get Cheez-It. It's an ultra-thin, super crispy, and the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. I can vouch for that. And then on top are all the flavors that perfectly complement a Cheez-It. And all the great flavors and toppings that you've come when you get any other Palermo's branded pizza. Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, pepperoni. And with one of the shortest bake times, only 8 minutes, you can be going from freezing to cheesing in as few as just 8 minutes. So keep an eye out and try one today. Cheez-It frozen pizza. It's in your favorite grocer's frozen pizza section.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line. Rudy says, I vote that Will should be required as punishment to have the shirtless Mark Chmura photo as his lock screen. Well, that would do two things.
And
one,
disturbing.
It would give him, well, and also, doesn't Angie not want that photo distributed?
Yes. She wants them all gone.
No. She doesn't want them gone. She wants them in her possession.
She wants to own them.
Yes.
I feel that is a difference between...
Just like...
Yeah, she doesn't want them gone. She just wants to own them all.
If you're watching on the YouTube stream, this one right here.
That is very uncomfortable.
She's never getting this one. This one's ours forever.
You know what? Okay. To be honest with you, though, if he wanted to, he could just grab it one of these days, bring it home to her, and then we'd never see it again. So
he's never
going
to remember to grab it on his way out.
I'm just thinking maybe we should lock it up. Put it somewhere. There's a joke in there, but we're moving on. Brewers get another big win last night, guys. And my goodness, it was 3-1 the final over the Braves. They just keep on winning. Isaac Collins yesterday was named Rookie of the Month. And I love that there's an MLB article out there about how nobody knew who Isaac Collins was. That from the manager, Pat Murphy. This has been a merry band of misfits, a bunch of underachievers. I think Murphy has even used the phrase average Joes. And I got to tell you guys, philosophically, we love an underdog story. And I feel like that's why the Brewers continue to gain fans. You know, Arian Foster is just the most famous one out there who has been on the bandwagon for the Brewers, celebrating the Brewers' success. Today, we wake up and the Brewers are not only number one in the power rankings for MLB, they are also number one in the power rankings for ESPN. So people are starting to recognize that what the Brewers have done is not only incredibly impressive, but deserves recognition. And I got to tell you guys, I know yesterday we were talking and Joshy was here and he's saying that he's still nervous. And I know that that is sort of baked into the Brewers experience, maybe even the Wisconsin sports fans experience, to wonder when the other shoe is going to fall. But Gabe, I am pushing all of those thoughts to the back of my mind. I am riding this wave and trying to enjoy every single moment of the Brewers' success.
So as part of the power rankings this month over at ESPN.com, or this week, excuse me, they were comparing this week versus last month, this month versus last month, in terms of their chance to make the playoffs, according to their statistics. The win average for the Brewers for the rest of the season gets them to 95.9 wins, 96 wins. That would be tying a franchise record. The chance that they're in the playoffs, 99.2% that the Brewers make the playoffs. And then the chance that the Milwaukee Brewers are champions. What do you think the percentage chance that the Brewers are going to walk away as World Series champions?
22.
And 22 would be very high.
Is that the highest of anyone?
Nobody is that high.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Nobody's that high.
Let's go with a 13%.
11.3%.
And where does that rank amongst the other teams in Major League Baseball?
So the Cubs are 13.6, Dodgers 15.4, the Tigers also 11.3.
Cubs, meanwhile, lost yesterday on what was essentially Dansby Swanson not touching first, right? Are we right on that? Like, he overstepped first base?
Yeah, he eventually touched first base, but by the time he touched first base, it was too late. Because he kind of like tried to wide receiver toe drag his foot across the base because he overstretched the bag. So he missed the base, ball beat him there, and he was out. Infield single with a runner on third that would have tied the game. Instead, they lose, and the Brewers have a 3-game lead.
Is Arian Foster the running back?
Yeah.
That's the fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Chew, yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Why is he a fan?
He was looking for a baseball team. He does stuff with Barstool now.
Really?
He was looking for a team to root for and landed on the Brewers. Showed up to a game earlier this year, did the tailgate, got to throw out a first pitch, did the whole nine yards, yeah.
You guys aren't concerned at all, though? I still have this, like, okay, you're peaking too early.
Okay, so here's what I was thinking, because I've been thinking about this a lot over the last 24, 48 hours or so. Maybe, but to me, the success and this run that the Brewers are on is like falling in love. Like when you meet someone and you're like, you get the butterflies and you're like, we got a lot in common. This could be something. I don't want to go, I'm a little nervous. I don't want to put myself out there completely, but this could be something. So you just keep taking steps and you keep having the little dates and you get to know each other. And every time it's a little bit better and you're building on it. And yes, there's some scared part of you that's like, what if it doesn't work out? What if I put myself out there? What if I was vulnerable? But that's all part of the ride. And so I was thinking about how having the number one team in the league, when historically the team has, you know, faltered down the stretch, or maybe even you can argue has become a victim of the financials of its league, this is sort of like those butterflies you have when you first meet somebody and there's a chance that, like, this is the one. That's how I'm feeling about this Brewers run.
But
this could be the one, Chew.
Yeah, but you want to catch her picking her nose or doing something that's to make her real. You know what I'm saying? Because there's something's got to bring it back there. Because no one's perfect, right? Well, some are less perfect than others.
You could argue that the injuries to a few of these guys, Sal Frelick and Jackson Churio, is the picking of the nose, to follow your metaphor, not mine.
Have you ever caught your wife picking her nose?
No.
Okay.
She doesn't wash the food down the drain, which... You know, things that just annoy the ever-living day, and you tell them and tell them, and they still don't do it. And I don't think it's for spite. Because her daughter does the same thing, and I'm like, what is the matter with you people? They hate dishes in the sink with food on them, but they rinse the food off, and they don't rinse it down the drain.
Into the garbage disposal, so it just sits there.
That's my biggest pet peeve. I need a pet peeve. Like I said yesterday, I'm like, give me a 4-game losing streak. Just like, okay, reset, and now we go. No, that's how we thought in football.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the beginning of the year, Super Bowl year.
Super Bowl or bust.
We're
literally
crushing.
Sports.
We are
illustrated
crushing
cover.
Everyone. It's Super not Bowl even close. And then we get banged up, we get hurt, and then we lose two, almost three in a row, and we're like, you almost need that. I've heard coaches talk about it. You want to reset. I think Dan Campbell said last year, like, you know what? Sometimes a loss is good for you.
Sure, but they did lose. They lost that game to the Cubs. They're going to lose games. I'm not sitting here thinking they're going to go undefeated the rest of the year. What I am saying is they're going to win more games than they lose. And right now with a 3-game lead, I am willing to, and I have been, Chewy, you said this yesterday, I am willing to say this could be it, guys. This could be the gal. This could be the guy.
I agree. Could
be the one. We could be walking down the aisle to a World Series here. And that is every single night now. Every time. I mean, Chewy, last night, Quinn Priester gives up a home run right away.
Yeah.
You're going, oh, man, maybe not his night. I'm going to hold on. And then he just mows them down the rest of the way. He's obviously a ground ball pitcher, and the defense has been stellar behind him, as expected. And then Isaac Collins has the 3-run home run, and you're going, what can't this team do?
Exactly. But why aren't they number one in the percentages?
Because it's a flawed roster. I mean, I'm guessing because lack of...
See what I mean? We always go back to something.
The lack of power in the lineup is probably not good for whatever algorithm that ESPN.com is using.
He just gave you your stuff in the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lack of power in the lineup. And honestly, like, this Jackson Churio thing is... It's a little... I mean, hopefully we get more clarity on it sooner rather than later. But as we sit here right now, it doesn't look like he's going to be around for that 5-game series in 2 weeks against
the Cubs. That's fine. There's 50 games left?
Yeah, but those ones are, again, in terms of the division. That's why, I mean, keep winning games now against teams like the Braves. Then you've got the Pirates and the Reds after that. Just give yourself as much of a cushion going into that Cubs series, because if they're not healthy... It's just that's going to be a tough series.
So in your mind, the percentage drop between winning the Central and getting the wild card is how big of a disparity? So if you're saying when they got X amount of chance to win it all, if they're the wild card, how far does that drop for you?
I mean, it's probably about a 10%
considerably.
Drop. Yeah, probably about a 10% drop.
Wait, the Miz was supposed to start on Sunday, and they put him on the 15th, right?
Correct.
They could bring. I mean, don't you think that they'll bring him back for that Cub Series?
Oh, Miz could be back.
Oh, sorry.
Churio.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Miz.
No, Jackson Churio is the one I am more concerned about, especially when you're talking about bats in the lineup and things like that. Like, he is one of their best offensive players, and the longer he misses, the more that absence is going to be felt. So hopefully it's not a big thing. Hopefully it's not something that lingers, because if the Brewers want to go on a magical run, he's got to be a big part of it.
I'm looking at the schedule right now, and let's just look at the month of August, okay? We know they swept Washington. We know they beat Atlanta yesterday. So they obviously have to finish up the series today, and tomorrow they get an off day. Then they have the Mets. Then they have the Pirates. Then they have an off day. Then they have the Reds. Then they have that five-game series that you mentioned on the road against the Cubs. Then they go home with San Fran. Arizona, they have a four-game series, and they finish up with Toronto. Guys, I could see them going through the month of August with six losses or fewer. Six losses or fewer in the month of August, guys.
Yeah, Pittsburgh stinks. New York's good. Is Cincinnati still battling?
I mean, they made some moves to try to think that they're... I mean, they're a competitive team. They are competitive. I'll say that.
Am I seeing a five-game series with the Cubs?
They have a double.
Is that the double?
He said that. I said that.
Yeah. Because of the series, the first time they went there, and then they rescheduled it, so they have the doubleheader to kick off that series.
San Francisco relevant?
They have played some pretty stinky baseball since the break.
Toronto's good.
Toronto's really good.
Toronto's good. Six would be nice. I don't think it happens. All right.
You think six is too low?
Yeah.
Looking at this schedule, how many losses do you see on the schedule? And I know it's tough. It's not like when you look at the Packers schedule and you can kind of like a win, loss, loss, win. I'm basically saying like,
so I'm going,
maybe I'm saying they're winning series.
You think they're going to go to Chicago and...
I do.
And win?
I'm that confident
all right,
in what
so
this
say
team
two
and
losses
how Murphy
there.
Has them operating right now. I'm
two,
that confident in
two
them
two losses
too.
There, one San Francisco, that's three. They got four games with Arizona. They're going to lose one. So that's four. Toronto, at best, one loss. That's five. Philly, at best, one less. That's
Philly,
six.
Now you're in September. I said just the month of August.
What did it so? Yeah.
You said four.
I mean, Wednesday's going to be tough because you're going against Spencer Strider, who's really good.
Is San Diego really good?
San Diego's playing good baseball, yes.
Okay.
They are a playoff
team. So I kind of like how it finishes up in September.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Philly, Pittsburgh, Texas, St. Louis.
I feel good.
Angels.
Does anyone want to join me? Join me, why don't you, on a six losses. I think this team, and what I saw they've been pumping stats out for the last stretches on the road and all this stuff. We had the numbers. It was like 22-6 or something like that. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Brewers are 22-6 in their last 28 road games, including 11-1 in their last 12. Five consecutive wins. They're a season high 24 games over 500 with the best record in baseball. There are 50 games to go. That from Adam McKelvey yesterday. I believe the Brewers put something similar out there as well. And since they will be on the road, that does feel relevant to this conversation. I'm saying they go through the rest of the month. No more than six losses.
I can see it. But let me ask you a question.
Please.
When you go on like a five-game or six-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
is that confidence?
Some of it. Some of it's bad luck. Some of it's, yeah. But then it starts to get to you, and you start to get a little tight.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same thing in football. You lose a couple games back-to-back, have a couple bad games, start questioning yourself a little bit.
Yeah, it's more of a blame game.
Yeah.
Football's not confidence. It's just blame. Which tracks.
Well, catching the football is confidence.
Yes. Had that.
Yeah. I mean, you've talked about
it. But it's usually, you try not to blame the defense. You try not to blame the offense. But behind closed doors, you do.
Sure.
Well, but the problem is most guys are playing offense and defense in baseball.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if it was a confidence thing. Because football, it's not so much confidence. It's like, you suck. Play better, please.
And again, I don't think that we can overstate the impact of Pat Murphy on this roster.
Yeah,
bunch of young guys. I know we had talked about it, right? Former college coach. Obviously, he's been on the bench in Milwaukee for a very long time. But it feels like he's a master motivator. It feels like this whole idea of friendship, this whole idea of having each other's back, this whole idea of they don't think we can do it.
Yeah,
they don't believe in us. They don't, you know, and that idea of us against the world. I'm kind of loving how it's all coming together. If you like the movie Dodgeball and Average Joes, you should love the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes. One thing from yesterday, though. I talked to a few buddies. They think Murph's disgusting.
This is a pocket pancake?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
They think that's like, your pocket is one of, outside of underwear, it's probably the grossest part.
It's a hoodie pocket. Well, get it in his hoodie pocket.
Well, I mean,
oh, it isn't. I thought it was. No, his
pant. The pancake was in his back pocket.
That's
in, of his baseball pants.
Okay, I thought he was talking about how he definitely mentioned how he keeps stuff in his hoodie.
He said when he's wearing a hoodie, he will put things in the hoodie. He was not wearing a hoodie during the game on Friday. The pancake was in the back pocket.
Oh, so if you rank them, which is something I do, the front pocket's the worst. The back pocket is second, and the hoodie is third.
Third best.
Yes.
Like, you would take a pancake from a hoodie pocket?
I might.
I made Hannah store me a pancake from my pocket yesterday on Vibe Check.
Front pocket, definitely out.
No, I would rather go front pocket than back pocket.
She was mortified, for the record. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I, not the most handy people. And so when something is bigger than we can handle, we always call our friends over at PCI. Right now, we have a door on the back of our house that we need turned into a window. You can guarantee we are calling our friends over at PCI to handle that for us, because Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships, and they've been in business for more than 20 years. You can learn more about PCI and see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Not our usual time for Jason Wilde, but not unusual for us to still be talking to Jason Wilde at this time when he usually joins us at 7:15. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm just great. How are you guys?
Did you get good news this morning?
Yeah, I think so. I think you gotta love Doc McKenzie, man. Chewy, he sends his warmest regards.
Love him.
He said, "I do not have gout."
I was wrong.
But I will say this. So I it's such an embarrassing thing. Like I hurt my foot avoiding stepping on one of our new kittens who scurried in front of me unexpectedly, and I banged my foot against the bottom of a door, which split open my big toe and it was bleeding all over. Yeah, it was awesome. But here's the thing, like, this is going to end up being an incredible blessing in disguise, because we get done looking at my foot, and he thinks, you know, maybe there's an infection from where the wound is. Maybe you have turf toe. But then he looks at my Achilles. He's like, "Do you always have that bulge there in your Achilles?" Like, yeah. He's like, "Does it cause you problems at all?" Like, this is why great doctors are so valuable, right? Like, he was not there to look at that. I hadn't thought to ask him about it. He's like, "You realize that that's a sign that you're you know, there's something wrong in there. And I get up in the morning and I kind of hobble around. I just assume it's like I'm an old man now. But I think this kitten causing me to trip into a door may save me from Damian Lillard's fate and Tyrese Halliburton's fate. He wants to do a scan to make sure that we do something to prevent me from rupturing my Achilles. So what a great day I'm having. It's
so Jason, will you hide your limp so the players don't see it because they would just ride you?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have been gritting my teeth for weeks. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And it was really so again, we got Nate Hobbs's injury is more important than mine. But I will say this. Because of the amount of walking I was doing on my foot, it got really bad. Like family night, I was really, really limping. And like when I went into the locker room, I was trying so hard not to show that I was, I mean, it hurt a lot. Cause like you walk a long way from the parking lot to the stadium and then from the stadium to my office and then from my office to Lambeau, to the press box. And so I was really struggling. And you're right. I mean, the last thing you want is a bunch of tough dudes who play football for a living, seeing a wimpy little sports writer limping around. Oh, yeah, did you hurt your foot? They would have been merciless. So thank God you're retired because you would have been leading the charge.
Oh, yes.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about Nate Hobbs's injury. Knee surgery, according to Bill Huber, who reported that for Sports Illustrated late last night. Seems like they're hopeful he can play week one. But what do you think the realistic expectation of when he can be ready for the Packers is?
Yeah, I think hopeful is probably the right word, Gabe. And in talking to a couple of different people about this, he had something, some sort of, I don't know if it's a loose body or what it was that was causing him problems. And, you know, let's be honest, and it's a great scoop for Bill, and Bill does an amazing job. So I always am happy to see him break news instead of all the insiders that are out there who break everything. That said, you know, I'm guessing that his agent wants to downplay the possibility that this sidelines him for the opener. And again, it's a non-zero chance that it could take longer. I mean, he had surgery, like it was a scope and it's not a long-term thing. But if, you know, if it was like a small little meniscus tear and they trimmed, for example, yeah, it'd be great if he's back in 3 weeks and then he's ready for September 7th, but that's 33 days away. And I don't think you can say for certain that he's going to be back in time. And the reason why, to me anyway, this is significant is what, you know, you and I and Strofe talked about it at Summerfest. We've talked about it on this show, you know. And Goody, frankly, said it the day that he released Jaire Alexander. So we feel really good about our first three corners. And we think we've got three starting caliber corners in Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, and Carrington Valentine. Well, if he's not ready for the opener, then you've only got two, right? Mm-hmm. And they've got the flexibility of Javon Bullard playing in the nickel as the slot guy. But the bottom line is that this is all it takes, right? It's a minor little knee injury that requires minor surgery, but it's still enough to potentially cause you to miss a game or two, because now you felt good about your top three. Now you feel good about your top two. Well, where does that leave you on the third one? Like, you know, are you excited that you potentially are another injury away from Kalen King having to play or Micah Robinson having to play? Like, I just would argue, or obviously Corey Ballantyne, who they brought back yesterday. Like, I would just argue that this is the kind of, you know, not worst case scenario, but the kind of concerning scenario that we all predicted they could face. We just didn't think it would happen before they'd even played a game.
Jason, how did you interpret what you saw at family night? I think there's a lot of people out there obviously very excited about the Packers season, and yet it is still a glorified practice. We don't always know what the objectives are of each of the drills, of each of the workouts. So how should Packers fans take what they saw on Saturday night and extrapolate any sort of opinions out of it?
Yeah, a couple things. That's a really good question because I always, you know, Packers versus Packers, somebody's always going to win and someone's always going to lose. And when you have an offensive-minded head coach, usually the head coach is more irritated if the offense doesn't win, right? Mm-hmm. He's not going to take the positive view. I'm sure Holmgren, oh, no, it's great to see, you know, Fritz's guys really crushing us. Look, I thought Jordan Love threw the ball really well. I thought he moved. You know, I wrote a story about him and his movement in the pocket. He had the one run where he got out. But again, it's not live, so who knows if he would have been sacked before he even ran. But I thought he threw the ball accurately. I thought he put the ball where he wanted to, which I think is something that he didn't always do last year. I thought, so that was encouraging. But let's call it what it is here. The number one offense didn't score a touchdown in any of the 11-on-11 drills, including a red zone period, which is obviously weighted toward the offense. You're inside the 20, and they still didn't score a touchdown. So you can look at that as, you know, and this is how Xavier McKinney looked at it when I talked to him afterward. Like, yeah, hey, we're off to a really good start defensively. They felt really good about it. You know, Lucas Van Ness, you felt really good about how he looked. Now, on the flip side, he did it to Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton at one point, and that's not great for what you're wanting to see from those two guys, right? So I think you can say that it's not that big of a deal and it's just a practice and all those things, and you can say, oh, this is a good sign for the defense that they're starting to get going, but I don't think any night, whether it's in a game, whether it's in a practice, whatever it may be, when the offense can't muster a single touchdown and the biggest cheers for Jordan Love and company are when they put the balls in the nets in the throwing drill, I don't think that's a positive at all. So, you know, again, and I don't think LaFleur has any intention of playing his guys for very long, if at all, on Saturday against the Jets. But I did not think, you know, despite what I felt about how Jordan threw the football, I did not think real positive thoughts about where the offense, what the offense showed on Saturday night.
Jason, which player or players did not perform very well?
Yeah, I went back because I recorded family night, and I thought Jordan Morgan struggled. And maybe that's just a sign that Lucas Van Ness is healthy. He's had a good camp. Like, he's had some wow plays as a defensive end. Mm-hmm. There was a jet sweep that they ran to Jaden Reed, which I thought we weren't doing that anymore, but apparently we're still doing that. Maybe because Savion Williams is in and out of the lineup. But, again, Matt LaFleur flat out said, we need him on the field, and maybe we shouldn't put him in that situation. Well, they did anyway, and Lucas Van Ness threw him down like a rag doll by the jersey in practice a couple days ago. Like, I think Lucas Van Ness is having a very good camp, and there are really good encouraging signs about him. You know, also at the same time, we were saying the same thing about Rashawn Gary in camp last year, and he did not get, you know, have a great season. He didn't make the Pro Bowl from what I understand. But I wasn't super enamored with what I saw from Jordan Morgan. Like, and I said this to somebody as we were walking out afterward, I was like, man, I think Rashid Walker maybe won the left tackle job and he didn't even play. So again, there's plenty of time left. And to be fair to Jordan, like, the guy barely played last year, and when he did play, he didn't play left tackle. So maybe he's just getting his sea legs still. And by the time we get to the joint practice with Seattle on the 21st, he'll be looking a heck of a lot better at left tackle. But if you were judging it solely on family night, you would not have been encouraged.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. It's there in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment, lakelandsupply.com. You brought up Jaden Reed. The snap counts were interesting for family night, Jason, because he only played 10 in the 11-on-11, all out of the slot. And you juxtapose that with what we saw from Matthew Golden, played the most on the outside, also got 5 snaps from the slot. if this is the way this continues to go, and Matt LaFleur say, hey, we need Jaden Reed on the field, but then how come he doesn't put him on the field more?
Yeah, I am going to, I know this, Gabe, man, I love you. I know that this has become your pet project.
It has, yeah. Well, because here's the, because, and I don't want it to be like, I hate Jaden Reed. I don't. I think he's really good. It's a,
I know you don't.
It's a, the coaches don't put him on the field a lot.
Yeah, do what you, say what you mean what you say, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if you keep saying that that Jaden Reed's an important piece, then he should be on the field. There was a, and this is, again, I don't expect, because I'm going to practice every day, although I'm going to rest my foot today, so I'm not going to be there. But, you know, you don't go to practice every day, so you don't see all this. Like, there was a day, I think it was last Thursday or Wednesday, they were in pads, and they did a two-minute drill, and Jaden Reed, Jordan Love threw five passes on his way to a touchdown. Jaden Reed caught four of them. Like, he was, I think he was 5 of 6, and 5 of the 6 passes were targeted to Reed. Like, there are times. So I am going to say that they know what Jaden Reed is, as opposed to they're still trying to figure out all the things that their first-round pick is capable of and ready for. So it would make sense that they would play him more. Do you think that's fair?
Sure, but I guess the lack of outside snaps is the concerning part for me for Jaden Reed. And you correct me if I'm wrong here, Jason, because I guess at this point in what the NFL preseason and training camp is, I look at as family night still being one of the biggest nights because you're showcasing your team in front of 60,000 fans. It's on your television network. So I look at that as one of the big ones. And then I look at the inter-squad, you know, the practices that they're going to have, the joint practices that they have scheduled later. Like, those are the big three that I look at instead of the big, you know, the three preseason games, which are important for guys on the back part of the roster. If you want to know what's going on in the front part of the roster, those are the three practices I think are the most important. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong at all. And the lack of opportunities that he gets outside. And if I was Jaden Reed, I'd say, hey, remember that time in L.A. last year when Jordan said, F it, Reed's down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And threw the ball into triple coverage. He lined up outside on that play, right? He started out outside. So, I don't think we should be like DEFCON 1. That's the worst, right?
Good job, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been working on that. I usually get it wrong.
So do I.
That's a big improvement for me.
Which is why I'm so impressed.
Wait, so do we know that he got it right if we all usually get it wrong?
I'm fairly certain he got it right.
Okay, all right.
Because most time people say DEFCON 5, and that's wrong.
That's the lowest.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Yes. So the thing about it is, if I was Reed, I would say that. And then the other thing, and think back to 2014 when Cobb and Jordy Nelson were so star-spangled awesome. Cobb lined up outside all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not just pigeonholed as a slot guy. And I do think, to your point, I get the feeling, and I would love to know, and maybe I'll talk to Jaden about this today, I would love to know if he thinks he's being pigeonholed as a slot guy only. Because one of the appeals of drafting him in the second round the way they did is that at Michigan State, he played everywhere.
He played everywhere.
Like, he was outside all the time. He was in the slot. He would line up in the backfield. He did all the jet sweeps and motions and everything else. Like, he is that guy that can do everything. And, you know, Chewy can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that, as a player, you get really frustrated by is believing you can do multiple things and the coaches decide you can only do one thing. And so I think that's I will make a point of talking to, he and I do share the fact that we were both nicknamed, one against our will, me, and one by his mother, Jaden, Jay Bird. And now they've taken the J away. They just call him Bird. So since we have that Jaybird commonality, I'm gonna come up to him and say, "Hey, Bird, hey, Jaybird, let's talk about your role."
Jason, what do you have on your lock screen for a picture?
Oh, it's
just girls.
No.
What?
I did for a long time, but we have the fancy schmancy iPhone 16s now, and you can have them rotate. And so you can set it to pets. And since we have a lot of pets, I have a lot of photo options. So it rotates. Every time I pick up my phone, it's a different picture of one of the dogs or the cats.
Well, maybe I was wrong. I thought everyone had a picture of their significant other or spouse.
That's what she wants you to believe.
Yes, I guess so.
This is totally normal. Everybody does this.
You know what?
Paula does not want me walking around with a picture of her.
Will is producing. You know he has? The color blue.
Picture of himself playing catcher.
The color blue, and that's it.
Well, that's lame.
I did change it now.
Oh, you did? What do we have?
Peer pressure.
What do we got?
We got Andrew Vaughn as a White Sox.
No, if you're going to do an Andrew Vaughn picture, it has to be the one of him looking into the camera like the Mentos commercial.
Maybe I'll do the rotating Andrew Vaughn. It's just a bunch of different pictures of him.
Now that I can get on board with. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great day. Glad that you got that news from Doc McKenzie. It sounds like it turned out to be a very good visit, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good. Thanks for accommodating me today.
Jason Wilde, right after us on Wilde and Tausch each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. Hit it.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can always find it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. We did put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. I am saying the Brewers will go 22-6 for the month of August. Now, that does include series against the Mets, the Cubs, and the Blue Jays. Are you buying that, or is it too optimistic? And look, we won't. Maybe I don't nail the record. Maybe it's not 22-6. Maybe they lose 7 games. But I think they're going to lose fewer than 10 games in the month of August.
Oh, suddenly we've gone from 6 to 10.
No.
It seems like she's backpedaling, too.
I'm not backpedaling.
Backpedaling.
I'm happy.
Realizes that 6 is a very low number.
I had them at 5.
But guys,
they lost 7 in July. They had a great July. One of the best records of baseball in July. They lost 7 with the All-Star.
But what I'm saying, guys, is there's 30 games. If they win 2 out of every 3, that's still really good. I'm not changing to 10. I'm saying maybe if they lost 10 games in the month of August, I would still be ecstatic.
Yeah, that's a great month. It's a great month.
So you're saying that the 6 losses is too optimistic?
Yeah, I would say it's unrealistic.
That's strong.
That's just the way baseball works,
no,
man.
But nothing about the Brewers is how baseball works.
Yes.
That's not true. They play a fun brand of very old school baseball.
Yeah, okay. We can nuance our way through the thing. I'm saying that the way that the game is structured currently, what the Brewers are doing isn't supposed to work. And yet it's working. Well, we got a whole other hour to hash through this, I suppose. And we still got to get to the Shams Charania comments about Giannis. Be still, my heart. That's next.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.